So who among you wants to do good to those who hate you? Probably not many of us, right? Loving our family and our friends and those who are kind to us and love us comes with a lot less effort. But Jesus' convicting words are, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. Is there any other teaching, I wonder, that feels more foreign to our sensibilities or feels unnatural to our human experience? Probably not. This teaching of Jesus in the Gospels to love one's enemies, it requires the most intentionality and willingness and suspension of our egos. Calling it a challenge to love our enemies is a vast understatement. It's an understatement. Oh my gosh, it's a challenge. Because every one of us at one time or another you probably have the experience of hating someone or being wounded yourself. And if you haven't, well, then you're lucky. And it'll probably still happen. The wounds can be deep or they can be slight. They can last a long time or be short-lived. They can be fresh or long scarred, as it were, even if somehow we have contributed to the problem. Praying for or loving our enemies doesn't come naturally. Lashing out in both overt and covert ways, feeling morally superior, holding people in judgment, those flow more naturally than letting go. Well, I have good news and bad news. First, the good news. You're not alone. That's the good news. You're not alone. See, the mind is attracted, as the author Justin LaRosa puts it, a quote, to drama and hurt like flies are attracted to smelly dung. Close quote. The ways of the world, our instinctual desires would have us conspire and plan and punish people for their misdeeds. And I'm not saying here, it can be clear, I'm not saying that there should not be outcomes for bad behavior, that there should not be boundaries and that we should be, or that we should be naive doormats who mindlessly return to people who hurt us over and over again. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying, and what I think the scriptures say clearly, is that when we are unwilling to forgive our enemies, we block ourselves off from being forgiven. When the heart gets locked up, then the ability to love gets weakened. And that's because the power of hate, it builds walls. And then the walls, they create prisons that we inhabit. And the prison cuts us off from relationships with God and our neighbor. And if the good news is that it's normal, then here's the bad news. If you're to be a Jesus follower, you have to stop that cycle. You must not only pray for your enemies, but you must forgive them too. It's terrible, I know. That's terrible, I know. But this is the part of following Jesus that most of us ignore, or we prefer just to kind of forget, right? Put that in the closet and we can go on and everything's great. You know, remember, no one said that following Jesus would be easy. And if they did, as our author of the book says, they'd be lying. Or else they haven't done the difficult work of loving their enemies. But we can find a way. We can find a way with God's help. Now, and this way it may be imperfect. It might possibly be messy and potentially unsatisfying process. But it may feel like we're taking, you know, three steps forward and then we take a couple steps backwards. But no matter, it's our willingness, you see. It's our willingness to engage and take action that will deepen and expand our knowledge of God. It will honor God. It will open us to a deeper sense of grace, of God's grace. For that has the capacity to unburden us from people and places and things that continue to weigh on us, to weigh us down. And then we can be free. But first, to use the imagery of a ship, which the author does, first, we must leave the comfort of the upper decks, as it were. They're exposed to the sunlight, right? And descend to inspect the freight that's stored below decks in the hold. For as La Rosa says, there is cargo in the bowels of our spiritual ship. And if we are going to travel the narrow road of praying for and loving our enemies, we have to explore what we have packed away in our holds. And this is part of what can be called our shadow side. It's kind of the term that's used a lot these days. Our shadow side is the cargo. And then this cargo, it may have been in there for a long time. Or it could be pretty recent, but its weight comes from the anger, the subtle superiorities, the hatred, the well-nurtured resentments, the long-forgotten grudges that we hold toward people. Are you beginning to get the irony here? I mean, the first step in loving our enemies is to do the necessary work on ourselves, to love ourselves, just like is the case with our neighbors. How to love our neighbors as ourselves. And then there are many ways to engage in this work, too many and too varied to do any justice during one sermon. But a central theme of most is one that's been a part of the church since the very beginning. And that's the process of self-examination, confession, and forgiveness. And a few organizations today have done very well with this. Alcoholics Anonymous and other 12-step programs of recovery have embraced this practice with incredible results. Examining our motivations and character and action will help us to forgive. And now some of you are thinking, yeah, right, Eric. If you only knew what so-and-so has done, you couldn't forgive him either. I know. You must, and you may be correct, see, you may be correct that you can't currently forgive so-and-so. That's a normal protest. But here's the kicker. God, who has chosen you, who has given you the Holy Spirit, God can. All that's needed to begin, it's this little mustard seed, right? That image we all know, it's the mustard seed of your willingness. Or at least the willingness to pray to God about your unwillingness. Even that is just that little step. It's huge. Because there's a common misperception that stops people from embarking on the journey to forgive. And it's the erroneous belief that biblical forgiveness means that, gee, you're going to have to be in regular relationship with these people or these things that you've forgiven, that have the people that have wronged you. But forgiving your enemies, it doesn't always mean that there is reconciliation, that suddenly everything is better, or that forgiving means that all of a sudden you're holding hands and singing around the campfire, right? Reconciliation would be ideal, but there are situations and relationships that are toxic, right? Where appropriate boundaries should be strictly maintained. Nevertheless, being a follower of Jesus means that even if such a situation is yours, you're still called to release any hatred, to no longer hold ill will, and offering them over to God's care so that you can release the power they have over you and move on. To forgive is to let go. Because that's the thing, isn't it? We carry around these hurts and hatreds, right? You've all heard the term the baggage we carry around, and it's down in our holds of the ship, right? Those images, they go together. We carry it around with us, and the thing is, it's so easy for us to tap into those memories and those feelings, right? And boom, we just go there, and they're there, and they're alive to us, and it is baggage. We're carrying it with us, but here's the thing. It's probable that we rarely, if ever, cross their minds. You see? They're renting space in our brain and our heads for free. Do you get that? Yeah. They don't even have to pay us, and they're there. They're running around, have all this power over us. See, for the Christian trying to love God and neighbor, that kind of thing is disastrous. There's an old saying that when you hold on to hate, it's like drinking poison in the hopes that your enemy will die. Ooh, I hadn't heard that one before. Like, wow, right? When you hold on to hate, it's like drinking poison in the hopes that your enemy will die. But the thing is, you will die. Maybe not literally, but spiritually. Hatred, it grinds away at our mental and emotional and spiritual health. And Scripture specifically instructs us that we have to give it up. We have to recoil, as it were, from it. Now, an excellent beginning to allowing God to clean out our hearts so that we can love, whether we have an abundance or just a sliver of willingness, is to make that decision that we will forgive. It's just that little mustard seed again. Luke tells us that Jesus instructed, be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. The Scriptures over and over again says that to receive grace, we must also offer it. That reciprocity. And this means that we have to learn how to become forgiveness practitioners. We must practice letting go. And it can feel like death. You know, our egos, they fight tooth and nail, right? Against letting go. Because that's their life, to hold on to that. And that's another way we can think about forgiving your enemies, is that you're releasing them over to God. For when we forgive, we are letting go of the power that we hold onto over our enemies, and thus the power that they hold over us. God, as we're told, is merciful to everyone, including those we consider enemies. People who have hurt us or hurt our families, criminals, murderers, politicians of different stripes, people who hate God, people who love God, people who are trying to destroy us or the world. Jesus' teaching says that we must be merciful too. So the answer, how do we love our enemy? It's not a one-size-fits-all, right? I mean, there's no process or series of actions that will work for every situation. And that's because enemies come in a variety of shapes and sizes. Each circumstance will look different in its application. There are some instances that we'll be able to reconcile. Others, we shouldn't. Forgiveness, it's more an art than a science. But it is an essential key to loving God and neighbor regardless. If we are to love God and neighbor, we must forgive. Following Jesus, it's hard. It can be tough. But God's grace inspires and compels and enables each of us to grow and deepen our capacity to love God and neighbor, and enemy, and ourselves. In community, we must be faithful to spiritual practices, be fruitful in the ways and with whom we spend time, and we must be surrendered to the results. And so love boldly, love courageously, love those inside and outside your circle, and love those who you think don't deserve to be loved. By doing so, Jesus Christ will be revealed and glorified. Pray with me as I offer this traditional prayer of confession. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways. To the glory of your name. Amen.